Just a quick warning that we're going to be talking about, obviously, existentialism, some death, some regret, some sin, some memory fuckery, time stuff, obviously. So if you're just not in the right headspace for that kind of thing, skip these next few episodes. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of A Hopeless Endeavor, a Joanna Newsom podcast. This is part two of The Things I Say, and I am Sam.
And I am Nikki, and we're so glad that you guys could join us today.
So glad.
So glad. This is a fun one to talk about because it feels less quantum fucking physics-y than some previous songs that will remain nameless. Yeah, so I hope that you guys enjoy our conversation, and let's get right back into it.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy.
Okay. Now, where were we?
We talked about sins. We talked about solemn vows. We talked about no one listening.
Now it's the next verse, I think.
Is it my turn? One. Okay, it's my turn. Okay, and she sings. There's an old trick played when the light and the wine conspire to make me think I'm fine. I'm not, but I have got half a mind to maybe get there yet.
Yeah. So this is compelling and confusing at the same time to me. So I love the idea that we might be fucking with like both memory and perception here by introducing the wine into the equation, and to refer to it as a trick too, like a trick played by who? Time.
Did you see in the Michael Hicks article the trick that he links?
I did. I don't know how much I follow, but I did see it.
I think his... okay, so I'll explain the trick because it's a visual thing. So you have like a...
sorry, one sec. Aussie's barking to be let out. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you have what?
So I was just going to explain the wine in an upside down glass trick. So you have like an inch-ish deep bowl plate with some wine in it. In the middle, you have a cherry with four matches that you light. You place the wine glass on top, and as the flame goes out, it creates a vacuum, and so the wine gets sucked into the cup. And then Michael Hicks's comment here is... I think just on like vacuums and... like the idea of time moving backwards. Let's assume that you're not incredulous and I'm not crazy just for a minute. My mind goes in a few directions as to why this little bar trick would console. First, the sheer topsy-turviness of it all reminds me much of reversal. Streams flowing backwards and all that. Second, I'm drawn to the physics of the match, the heating of air like that in hot air balloons. The last reflection, though, is to reflect on what draws the wine in. And then he talks a lot about vacuums and his connection to steam engines and Thomas Edison's light bulb. In a work so immersed, I love this part, in a work so immersed in water, so we're talking about Divers as the entire album now. In a work so immersed in water, light, and sound waves as Divers, the vacuum clearly plays its part, and we shouldn't forget another critical wave connected to vacuums, gravity. So right. That's Michael Hicks.
Interesting.
But I like your idea of perception and memory here, too. That, like, I think the vibe I get is, like, you know, you get the right light, you drink the right amount of wine, you feel great. But if one element in that balance is off, then, you know, it's too true.
Too true. Much. Yeah, like I the light part of that equation is a bit confusing to me. So like the light and the wine conspire. So they're working together to make her think she's fine. And so like what role does the light have to play in that consolation in making her think she's fine? Is it like the role that, is it light's relation to time that makes her think that she's fine? Or is it just, yeah, like I'm not sure what to do with the light.
I think I had a much more simple interpretation of that, which was just like, you get the right sunset, you get the right sunrise, you get the light, like the right light, the right lighting.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you get a little tipsy and you see a beautiful sunset and you're like, you know what? All is well. It's
yeah, I
fine.
Can see that. Okay.
Like, all of this shit, don't worry about it.
All but, right. You know, I'm a
you
bit
get
on
too
board.
Drunk, that's too much, and you don't have any. If you're too sober, you're like, yeah, that's a nice sunset, but like yeah. Whatever. It's like that moment of perception.
Yeah, totally. Okay, I could see that. The other possibility, this might be like very far-fetched, but the other possibility I was thinking about with the light component here is that I've alluded to like what my interpretation of a pin light bent is before, where it's the thought that like it is just like the little hole in the sheet that is making us think that we are unique and like that we are separate from like the oneness that is the whole, the oneness of light. And so I was thinking like maybe the trick that the light plays is to like, you know, shine through that little hole in the sheet in a way that projects just this little pinprick of light and makes you think that like, look, there's a unique being there. That's that is me. I'm that little unique being. And now I'm drunk with the wine and somehow that makes me think I'm fine. I'm not really sure how that's supposed to go, but that's the other that's the other way that my brain went in trying to interpret the line, is to somehow connect it to a pin light bent, but I'm not sure.
No, I like that. And like, I feel fine because I know that I'm special and I know that I'm unique and I know that I have a place in this world and that brings me comfort. But that's also a product of perception and time.
It's a trick. Yeah, it's exactly.
Trick. Yeah, it's a trick. Exactly. Yeah.
Perception and time. Exactly.
And it's also a trick that it's also like a specific wording that we use, I think just in general to comfort ourselves with like the vastness of unknowing of life,
oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like I think of especially like telling little kids like you're so special and you're so interesting and you're so amazing, and none of that is untrue, but yeah. It's also just like a trick that we play to convince people that life is great and life is good and all is well.
I've been reflecting on that narrative a lot because of the fact that I have a kid that I talk to now, and it's hard to know whether that's like a nice thing to say to your kid. Cause like, oh my God, she's the most special thing in the entire world for me. Mm-hmm. So like, I want to communicate to her that like, assuming she can understand any of it, which she's not quite at that point yet at 7 months old, but
she's not understanding the vastness of life and like,
right. Right. And what special means, but you know, we're getting there, and eventually I want to know like, is it good to communicate to them like that they're so special? Because they absolutely are. But at the same time, like, oh my God, everybody is, which like everybody is somebody's kid. And like, we need to have empathy for all humans. And you shouldn't think that of yourself as an exception. I don't want my kid to grow up like super self-centered and unconcerned with everybody because she thinks she's so special. But at the same time, it's like a really nice
things.
Feeling. It is both of those things. You're
it's
right.
It's all of it. And it takes, I think that's what must be, as not a parent, one of the hardest parts of parenting is like, how do you present all the good and all of the bad in an equal way at the same time? And you can't, because their little brains are just not ready for that yet.
Yeah. They're like, Mom, what are you talking about? Yeah. I'm more interested in what sound a cat makes. Like,
yeah. And I think even as adults, you know, it's hard to perceive all of that at once and remind yourself that, like, yeah, this is just a trick that is being played, that I'm allowing to be played right now. But that's a part of it. If you don't do the buy-in, then, you know, shit's really hard.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, on that note, she's got half a mind to maybe get to okay. Is that what there is, to maybe get there yet?
I think so.
To get to being
fine.
There's
half of me that still believes that I will be fine in the future, that I will get there yet. It's not all of me. But
I mean, I love the use of half a mind here, because obviously it plays into like the Zeno's paradox stuff that we're talking about. It also communicates what I think you're saying, Sam, is that like half of me thinks that that is a possibility. The other half is maybe a bit darker. But then isn't it also an expression? Like, I've got half a mind to give you a whooping. Why is that what comes into my head? Which I think is like, what does
that
communicate?
A moderate inclination.
Oh, a moderate inclination. Okay.
Which I didn't think of. I was reading something with a kid yesterday about how dolphins can like use only one hemisphere of their brain at a time, like half of their brain at a time, and that's why they can like sleep.
Interesting.
Because they can
because they can perceive still.
Yeah, right? But they can also sleep.
So
that's where my brain went, but like, yeah. Half a mind, an inclination that is not definite or resolute.
Ooh. She's being wishy-washy about this maybe get to fine inclination.
And I feel like that makes sense with the vibe of this verse, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I've got half a mind. It's like a little slurry, a little drunk, a little stumbly.
Yeah.
But a little, and like, a little positive. Maybe.
Maybe. It's like, listen, I'm still pretty depressed. I'm still having an existential time here. But also, like, maybe I'll get to fine. It's not like things are for sure going down forever and like it's just shit. It's it's moderately positive.
I maybe believe that I could possibly get there, maybe somehow, someday.
Yeah.
I'm really walking around this idea.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate too just the straight up acknowledgement that like I'm not fine right now.
Yes.
Like, I know that we've marveled already at the directness of this song, but I think that that's like a very just real, real straightforward. I'm not fine.
I'm not. Yeah.
And it makes me wonder about like, what about the narrator right now is the thing that she's not fine about? Not that there's an answer to that question exactly, but it just makes me think about like what's going on with her, where she is ruminating like this and having these regrets and not being okay. It's just, it's an interesting vibe.
Is it that we've started this downward slope, right? Because that fits the vibe too. Is it that we've been having all of these really endorphin-filled upward movements and now our serotonin has paused and we're really on the decline? Like we're skipping over that ledge of being okay.
Yeah. And that brings up the question of what fine amounts to for our narrator, because like if what she's worried about is like some existential worry about like death and like being over the hill and like things starting to go down in her like life cycle, and she's not fine because she's gonna die, like it makes me think of in You Will Not Take My Heart Alive, there seems to be some sort of like confusion about what does it mean to not take your heart alive, when we'll get there. But like my point is just that what would fine be for our neighbor? What is the thing that would console her? Would it be that you've got a lot more time on earth? Would it be that actually dying is okay, or actually living this like sort of mundane existence is actually, it's fine? Is it going to be that like you can improve yourself and your relationships enough so that you're going to be happy with yourself? Like what is the part that's not fine? What's the part that could be fine?
Yeah. What are the ingredients that we need to bake the cake that makes her fine?
Yeah.
I don't think we have an answer to that.
No, me either. I also like here that there's like a sort of placing in space of fine in a way that echoes maybe that point we made for the first verse with like the space of half a day. So space being linked right into time. I like the idea of like fineness being fine, being linked to a place, to maybe get there, get to the place.
Like capital F fine.
Sorry. My headphones fell off, but what did you say?
Like capital F fine. Like fine as a destination.
As a destination. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Fine being located somewhere in space time is interesting.
That we can physically get to as yeah. opposed to like just feeling.
Become more. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And also in the context of a song that is likely toying with Zeno's paradox, it makes it seem a little bit more hopeless, right? Because even within this line here, I have got half a mind to maybe get there yet. It makes it seem like she's not going to get there if Zeno's paradox is in the back of our minds, right? And we're still just having things, H-A-L-F, mm-hmm. H-A-L-V-I-N-G, having things. Then like she's not going to get to that place of fine if fine is being put as like the point B on the map of Zeno's paradox.
Mm-hmm. That will never actually get there.
Yeah.
Do you know growth mindset? It's like a thing I talk about with kids. So growth mindset is just saying like, it's always keeping an open mind, and like something I use with kids, like always. So if you're saying something like, I can't do that, you add yet onto the end of it. I can't do that yet. I can't ride a bike. I can't ride a bike yet. We had a little growth mindset here. Yeah. Maybe get there yet. Like it's something we're working towards maybe.
Like yeah.
Slightly positivist. We're like slightly like yet.
Like I still have some hope. Which as you said is like kind of what you need to get you through like life, like it, you can't, you have to have a little bit of growth mindset in order to keep going.
Exactly. And you don't even need to buy into it wholly. You just need to have just a sprinkle, just enough to get you through the next day. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
This is a very short song. We are now halfway through.
Halfway through the Song of Halves that is halfway through the album. Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
Okay. Anything else about this verse?
Oh,
no. Help her. Hold on. My cat is stuck. Help.
Oh, no.
She did the thing with her poop again. Sorry, Nikki.
That's okay.
Don't even look. You're going to... Sorry, Nikki.
No, that's okay.
Do you do that?
What's the poop thing?
Where she like eats one of my hairs and then she poops. And then this happened to Bjork all the time too.
And then she'll poop out the hair.
But then the hair gets stuck to her butthole. Yeah. So when she jumps out of the litter box, she like rubs it on the floor and it like trails behind her. But she'll go forever if you don't stop her.
Oh, yes, so you have to,
like,
yes,
pull it out of her butt and then like clean her butt.
Oh, wow. So glamorous. Yeah, that weirdly doesn't happen with my cats, though. I do remember it happening to Bjork.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good job for cleaning her up, though. Poor baby.
Okay, let's edit that part out. People don't need to hear that.
The only other... You had just asked me if there was anything else about this verse. The only other note that I'll make is just sort of a reiteration of the half point that I've been making throughout, but I just thought too that like since this song is halfway through the album, that might be speaking to like on an album scale the endlessness or like the inability to get anywhere and to just keep going back into the same cycle.
Yes.
Because if you think of Divers as a circle, you might think you're like progressing until the halfway point when you're like, I'm just going, I can see the beginning and I'm just going back towards that.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I didn't think of all the having as it relates specifically to where we are in the album. We said all those things, but I love that you connected them.
sometimes it's hard to yeah, zoom out again. But just as I was thinking of the halfway point and Joanna saying that that's so specific and like that's so important, yes, to the song.
Yes. Love it.
Okie dokie. Is it my turn?
It is.
Oh boy. Okay. Then she sings, "When the sky goes pink in Paris, France, do you think of the girl who used to dance? When you'd frame her moving within your hands, saying, 'This I won't forget.'"
Is it a okay, is it a capital T, this, on your lyrics there?
It is, but I take that to be because it's the beginning of a sentence that he's saying.
Oh.
But I'm not sure.
The official lyrics. Yeah, okay. Sec. You can keep talking, though.
It's okay.
Okay. It's a good thing we did this. Yes. Okay. Because not only is this capitalized in this verse, but it's also italicized, and it's the only italicization for the entire song. So what's italicized is "this I won't forget."
I feel question like mark. She's... Question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because do you think of the girl who used to dance?
Yeah.
When you'd frame her. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like she's just using italicization as in place of quotation marks. Yeah. Maybe it's just a style or whatever. But yeah, I just feel like this keeps coming up. So yeah, this is the verse that I remember singing in Paris and being so stoked about.
So cute.
Yeah, I loved that. Okay, so I have quite a few things to say about this verse, but...
Is this the framing that you're doing, like taking a picture?
Yeah, I was thinking of like, exactly, like the, like, how do you describe this with words?
Like mimicking? If you were using a physical camera, not an iPhone, to take a picture, and you would like hold your hands up, hold your fingers to say, yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, and Nikki's making like a frame with both of her hands too. Yeah.
But it's like the kind of thing, like if anybody's a fan of The Office here, Sam and I were just talking about how we are watching The Office right now, but on Jim and Pam's wedding day, I don't know, one of them is like, somebody told me that you should like take little snapshots of the day to like remember moments of the day. And then like, I think Jim holds up like a pretend camera to Pam and snaps it. Pretends to take a picture with an old camera, not an iPhone. Yeah. But that's the kind of image I have in my head too, is like this like kind of cutesy moment where like it's sort of romantic. And
it is very romantic. If we're in Paris and the sky is pink and someone's dancing and you're like snapshotting that for your memory, that's very sweet.
Very sweet. And yeah, there's a couple different, it's like a very specific image too of just like this guy. I'm presuming it's a guy and a woman just because that's my assumption, but it totally could not be. But yeah, that like this woman is sort of dancing on the streets of Paris and this guy's like, oh my God, this is such a precious moment that I want to hang on to it. Oh, also, this made me think of during our recording on Waltz when we were struggling and stumbling and fucking having a time with the stack of slides line, debriding like a stack of slides, that shit. But we didn't even, I don't think, talk about how the stack of slides plays into this theme that we have on that beautiful list you made, Sam, of photography and like memories.
Yes, like, that is on that.
It's crazy.
It's a long list.
It's a long list. And also we were really in the weeds with the debriding. So yeah, I just wanted to point out that there is that photography as encapsulating not just like moments throughout a person's life, but then that thing coming to represent what the life was, which sort of reminds me of like the simulacra concept that we talked about when we were talking about simulacridge, where it's like this very particular representation of someone's life, which like may or may not mirror the real thing, but
yes,
but it's people's attempt to try to capture time, to try to stop it.
And it's also choosing like we're choosing a really beautiful specific moment, right? Which doesn't necessarily represent the entirety of all of it.
Right. It's very curated.
Yeah.
Yes. And so obviously this is also another shout out here in the things I say to that theme on the album of just like this. I shouldn't say obviously because I'm not sure if it's true or not, but like in my head, at least, the framing her within her hands is a way of trying to like sort of freeze that moment for yourself, to stop time in that way, and just sort of keep this moment with you.
It was our friend Lise who brought this up when we were talking about Sebo Konikan, right. And their comment on Instagram was, Hello. Okay. Their comment on Instagram was, I have been meaning to gather my thoughts on the photography references on this album. I have a master's in photography. Lise, I don't think I realized that before. So cool. Photography is so tied to memory and time, and by extension, grief and longing, which are huge themes on this album. So Lise, if you have more to say about this, I'm going to reply to you on Facebook now too. But like, what do you think of this, Lise? I'm asking you.
Yeah. Do you like this camera interpretation of this verse? And what can you add to to what we've said so far? And we love you, Lise, obviously.
Yes, you're the best. 10 out of 10.
Okay, so I have a bunch of shit to say about this song, as I said, about this verse, I mean, as I said, but can I maybe start with what David said? Because I hadn't of any of this. Okay, so he says, I also have a stretch of an interpretation. So he wants us to buckle in. But he says, okay, so when she says, when you'd frame her moving within your hands, just in special relativity, the frame of reference is the one that isn't moving. So in Einstein's theory of relativity, the frame of reference is the one that isn't moving. And so he's the frame of reference and she's moving relative to him.
Right.
And so if that were the case, then she would, because of who's moving and who's staying still, and because of the way that time interacts with space, she would be aging more slowly than him if she were moving fast enough away from him, because of just that weird time effect of special relativity, which I thought was interesting in the context of like, because we're trying to capture this one moment of time, that image of her ages less slowly. I don't know if that makes sense, but okay, that's a thing. And then the other thing he thought, which about this verse, which I thought was super cool, is in reference to the fact that she talks about the sky going pink in Paris, France. He says, the sky being pink maybe, and this is also a stretch, could be referring to the red shift of something moving away from you. So back to that word in a second.
Okay.
So maybe he's staying still and watching her slash Paris move away from him. And in that case, he'd also be slow to age relative to her. So, and as Sam is holding up the artwork for this song, the sky is like bright red and pink and like reddish tones, pinkish tones.
I need to look at all of these now and see what color they all are.
Yeah.
And see where in the span of the day each of these happens. Okay, we'll report back.
So a red shift, for those of you who don't know, because I didn't and had to ask David, is like the Doppler effect, but for light. So the idea is when things are moving away from you, the light shifts spectrum towards red. So things literally become more red as they move away from you.
Okay.
And if it's coming towards you, it shifts towards the blue end of the spectrum. And so the idea that like this memory is moving further and further away from him, like it becomes like something about it moving further away from him could maybe relate to the sky being pink. I don't know.
Oh, it 100% does, because as I looked on Wikipedia, which is like our number one resource for all things now, please, I wish they could sponsor us. That would be great. One of the first images under, so redshift falls under general relativity, physical cosmology, and special relativity, but one of the first images on the Wikipedia page is this like cone of time space that we've talked about so much throughout this album. So David, gold stars, amazing.
Gold cool. stars. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty smart.
Man, that one. He's on it. Brilliant. Yeah,
he is on it. In my much more pedestrian interpretation, all I thought about was, hey, look, the sun's starting to set as we're relating this song, or as we're relating like the course of a life to being mirrored in the course of a day. And this being like, you know, just over the halfway point, as we've talked about, the sun is starting to set as the sky is going pink. Right. And so it's in keeping with the theme of like, oh, things are starting to go the other way. They're starting to like either go downhill or come back up the circle. And we're getting closer to we're starting the path home back to the beginning.
Mm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I love all of that. Amazing.
What about you? What are your thoughts on this?
I don't have very many thoughts on this, to be honest. Mostly because I spent most of my researching time looking at other stuff, but let's see.
Totally fair. I was wondering like where the dancing comes into play.
Yeah, I mean, other than waltzing.
No, but that's exactly what I thought, is that like, well, we've talked about the last song had waltz in the title, so it's hard to not make that connection, you know?
I think I'm just very much on board with everything you've said. So I love the redshift. I love the like perspective of time, frame moving within your hands. I also feel like there's a certain control there too. If you're framing something moving within your hands, that's like a control thing. Like I'm controlling how I remember this. I'm shaping this in a very specific way. And also like I'm capturing you in a moment that I like. Yeah. And like you said, that doesn't necessarily reference the entire spectrum of their relationship or these people or whatever.
Yeah. I going back to this point that like I'm obsessed with, I just I had this note too, but I just thought of this like today, the framing part being restrictive too. Like, as you were saying, yeah. I think that, especially when we have Melissa Martorano's brilliance informing us of like the way that women are restricted from moving throughout this album, and that men get to not only do the moving, but also they get to control who gets to move. And like, shockingly, they've put themselves as the movers. But if you're literally like framing someone within your hands, you're putting borders around them. Right. And so you're saying like, look, I decide that you get to move within the confines of this frame. Yes. And like the fact that, in my interpretation, at least, these are male hands doing the containment, I thought was super interesting. And also, it puts her on display in a way that he's never on display, right? Like, she's something to be looked at and, like, presented and framed in a way where he's, like, he's just not. I don't know.
Yeah, we never see her doing it back. We only get, like, the male perspective of this person or this relationship. And it's, I don't know, it's, I wonder if it's framing how she is thinking about herself too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And this is another question I have. So I also assume that it's herself, like the girl is referencing our narrator.
Mm-hmm.
But she never says like, do you think of me when I used to dance? Yeah, it's the girl who used to dance.
And it's a girl specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Not woman.
Yeah. It's infantilizing a bit there. But I also just could be referencing like a woman in the past.
Yes. Yes. Totally. Yeah. Especially and if she's used older.
To. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Used to dance. Like that. Oh, that's so sad. It implies that like the joy has been sucked from her and now she does not dance in Paris.
Yeah. She doesn't dance anymore.
Yeah. The other just last note I had on the hands part, the framing within her hands, framing when you frame her moving within your hands, is just that it's another explicit reference of hands, which we saw a lot in Sapochnikon, like the hand of God or the master's hand beginning and ending. And here's just another hand reference. And it just makes me think of like, in Sapochnikon, in my understanding at least, hands referred to like who controls, who gets to decide, who gets to do the doing. And I was thinking maybe this was a callback here to that too. Just again, hands as power.
Yes, and specifically that they're male hands, or that we're interpreting it that way is important, I think.
Yeah, totally. And then the "this I won't forget" line too, I think is interesting because it makes it seem like it's like this I won't forget.
Yes.
Which makes me think that like everything else is at risk. Exactly. Of being forgotten.
That's the interpretation I had too. Like, this is the one tiny moment I decide to save. But it's the same as like being ashamed of half the things I say, right? Like, these are things that I'm ashamed of. These are the specific things that I'm choosing to remember and ruminate about. And this girl dancing in Paris is what I'm choosing to remember, and everything else is not highlighted, not of note.
Yeah. Which makes it seem like it adds a specialness, I guess, to this moment, right? Like, it's so special for, at least for him, that he's like, of my life, this is like something I want to remember, which is really sweet and romantic. But it also just brings to the forefront of our discussion and to the forefront of our mind here, that like there's this impending doom of the erasing that we get to see in anecdotes and also in Time as a Symptom, that like the erasing is coming in leaving the city.
Yeah. And that you don't get to choose what you remember and you forget regardless. So it's just kind of pointless anyway.
That's the thing. Guess what? You are going to forget it, actually. You can like rail against it as much as you want.
Guess what, buddy?
Bad news for you. You're not even going to remember that you were alive. So of course you're not going to remember this girl in France. But at least, and again, it brings to mind sort of "you will not take my heart alive" vibes, where it's like a railing against the inevitable. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not going to steal this memory from me, even though like, yes, time will.
Yeah. And in that way, it is just so, what's the word I want to say? Better than pointless. It's like
futile? Or no, futile. You're saying like,
yeah. Futile. Like that, like, even though we know, maybe we don't, but if we know that all of this is coming, that this wave of forgetting, this wave of erasure is on the way, we still have these futile moments of wanting to try to remember, of holding on to something as we're being sucked into the black hole at the end of the song.
Exactly. I never know if it's futile or futile.
Well, it's not F-U-D-A-L. It's F-U-T-I-L-E.
Yeah. But Sufjan sings, "words are futile devices," not futile devices. Sure, so let's go with futile.
You know what it's time for? Sufjan Christmas Unicorn.
Oh, yeah.
It is the time of year. When we listen to, someone asked me, someone at work the other day asked me my favorite Christmas album, and everyone had these beautiful answers, and I was like, have you ever heard Christmas Unicorn?
And they had not, I guess.
No,
they had not.
They had not. Silver and Gold.
Okay, let's see here. "The sky goes pink, girl who used to dance, frame her moving, this I won't forget." I think that's all I have for this verse, I think. And then if you have anything else, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Peace will be holden.
Okay, I think that's it. Thank you so much for listening to part 2 of The Things I Say. We'll be back next week with part 3. We're so glad you're here. Thanks for bearing with us. Send us your thoughts and theories. Our email is ahopelessendeavor@gmail.com. Check out our Patreon. There you can find early episode releases and bonus episodes.
But you can rate and review us if you
want. Yeah, you can rate and review us. We love that. What else now?
We have Patreon. We have email. We have Instagram, A Hopeless Endeavor Podcast. We have a Facebook group.
Yeah. Hopeless Endeavor. Joanna Newsom Podcast.
I don't know why I always forget that one.
It's impossible. And they're all the same but different.
That's okay, all we have. Is it New Year's? Are we saying Happy New Year?
Yeah, maybe. That sounds right. I think it's like right before New Year when this comes out. New Year's. I don't know. Maybe it's on New Year. Maybe it's after. Anyway, 2023 is happening at some point really soon. So if we're
can't stop time, guys. It's coming.
It's barreling ahead.
Take your snapshots. Take your futile memories while you can. Hold on to them tight because we're zooming into 2023.
Frame some people within your hands, but not in a controlly way. This is a tender, nice moment way.
Yeah. Futile memories in a tender way.
Futile memories in a tender way. And with that, we're off. Bye.
Bye.